The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Welcome to a Thursday. One day before vacation. Yes, I'm actually taking next week off. What a way to start the show, huh? I guess you can tell what's on my mind. But just a heads up that next week I will be on vacation, so there won't be a live show from 3 to 4. I will have the show, best of show running on the Progressive Voices Network next week from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. If there's a specific interview you remember from this year that you think should be included in the best ofs, feel free to drop me a line, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com, and I'll do my best to accommodate you because I haven't even started working on it yet. I've got all next week to do it, right? That's the beauty about a vacation is you've got time, a staycation, because I'm not going anywhere. But just to unplug from all this, after the discussion that I had with Brad Friedman yesterday, I think you can tell, I could use a few days where I don't have to immerse myself in the insanity that's going on each day in Washington, D.C. By the way, I need to start off with a bit of a correction. Because yesterday's conversation with Brad Friedman started with some good news. We were all excited about the race at the Virginia House of Delegates that was decided by one vote. Remember how we said every vote counts? Well, now more than ever, every vote counts. So if you're that one person in Virginia in the new, I think it's called Newport News District, that didn't vote, this is on you because the race is now tied. Yes, the race was going before a three judge panel to, I guess, certify the election. And the Republicans, a Republican election official, somehow found one more ballot that had been tossed out that had some things like filled in and crossed out. And I mean, I saw the picture of the ballot and it didn't look legit, but, you know, nobody asked me. Basically, they awarded that ballot to the Republican in the race. So the race is now tied. Right. In case you don't remember, they each got 11,607 votes. One got 11,608 votes, I think, were the numbers. Now they're both tied at 11,608, if that's the exact number. And so the way they're going to decide it is by a random drawing. Seriously, here's a CNN report on what happened in Virginia.
Essentially, after that vote that took place, the recount that took place in Newport News yesterday, a three-judge panel had to certify the results this morning. And when they were getting ready to certify, a Republican lawyer came forward with the question of an overvote, essentially a ballot that wasn't counted yesterday. And one of the observers that took part in this recount said that they didn't think that this particular ballot was enough to be counted, that it was filled out incorrectly, and he asked the judges to reconsider that decision. Essentially, what had happened was that the person that cast this ballot had voted for Republicans across the board and had filled in bubbles for both Yancey and Simmons, but had crossed out the bubble for Simmons.
Oh,
Republican lawyer said that was enough for them to declare that this vote should be counted. Now, it was a vote that hadn't been counted for either candidate. They wanted it to be included, and that would throw the race back to a tie.
Mm-hmm.
After a long period of deliberation, the judges agreed with the Republican lawyers. That vote now counts. This is now a tie race. This means that now both candidates will go to the Board of Elections, and they will literally pull a name out of a hat to determine not only who's going to win this House of Delegates race, but that's also going to determine who has control of the House of Delegates, because the fate of the seat will either make it a 50-50 race or a 49-51 race in the House of Delegates. So there is so much on the line, and it's basically going to come down to an election official pulling a name out of a hat.
Yeah, so basically the Republicans have controlled the Virginia House of Delegates for over 20 years. And as of, well, yesterday at this time, it was 50-50. And it was going to be, you know, sort of shared responsibility. If the Republicans win this random draw, then they have control of the House of Delegates by 51-49. If the Democrats win, then it goes back to 50-50. So every vote counts. Anybody who tells you your vote doesn't count is not paying attention. And because of all the shenanigans in voting between voter suppression, the voter ID nonsense. And I'm not saying it's that voter ID is necessarily a bad thing, just the way that they limit what you can use to prove you're who you say you are is designed to keep certain people from voting. By those certain people, I mean minorities, people most likely to vote Democratic. And so because of that, it's more imperative that our side comes out and votes in greater numbers. Anyway, that's what's happening in Virginia. This random draw is going to happen next Wednesday, December 27th. So on what otherwise might be a slow news week, might be, because you never know what Donald Trump is going to do. There's more news today. A jury today cleared the first six defendants who went up for trial on the Inauguration Day protest, the hashtag J20. In case you don't remember, police arrested 234 people on January 20th and charged them with rioting in Washington, D.C. around the inauguration. And the first six of those, the people went on trial today, and the jury found them all not guilty. So, let's see. Over the following months, prosecutors dropped charges against 20 people and reached plea deals with 20 others. So the rest of them, close to 200 left. They were going to be trying them in small groups of around six. Now they have to decide what to do after today's not guilty decisions with the rest of them. Hopefully they will they will just let these people go and stop the nonsense. In other news, Nikki Haley went before the UN and threatened UN funding, U.S. funding to the United Nations over over votes on the United Nations General Assembly was holding a vote today to declare U.S. recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital null and void. So before the vote, Nikki Haley spoke. Here's just a little bit of what she said, and listen to the threatening tone of her message.
The United States will remember this day in which it was singled out for attack in the General Assembly for the very act of exercising our right as a sovereign nation. We will remember it when we are called upon to once again make the world's largest contribution to the United Nations. And we will remember it when so many countries come calling on us, as they so often do, to pay even more and to use our influence for their benefit. America will put our embassy in Jerusalem. That is what the American people want us to do, and it is the right thing to do. No vote in the United Nations will make any difference on that. But this vote will make a difference on how Americans look at the UN and on how we look at countries who disrespect us in the UN. And this vote will be remembered. Thank you.
Wow. Talk about threatening. In fact, Nikki Haley sent out a letter to some of these, to some UN member states to warn them ahead of the vote. Here's the last paragraph of the letter. The president will be watching this vote carefully and has requested I report back on those countries who voted against us. We will take note of each and every vote on this issue. Excuse me? And then she says, thank you for your consideration, and please do not hesitate to contact my team with any questions or concerns. I've got some concerns for you. Our standing in the world is in the toilet. By the way, the vote was 128-9. Voting with the United States were Togo, Micronesia, Nauru, Palau, the Marshall Islands, Guatemala, Honduras, and Israel. Now, I think something like 33 countries abstained, including Canada, who originally was going to vote with the U.S. and vote against it. And then Justin Trudeau got wind of Trump's threats and just decided to abstain instead. This is crazy stuff going on, just absolutely crazy stuff. There's more in the news to fill you in on everything else going on. Here's what's news.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The president held a celebration on the White House lawn on Wednesday, touting the passage of the GOP tax scam bill. For about 30 minutes, Trump and Republicans from Congress boasted of passing a major tax package that will mostly benefit the ultra-wealthy and big corporations.
You haven't heard this expression, but we are making America great again. You haven't heard that, have you? I want to have them get up and get the glamour and the glory. And I just want to have a few of them come up and they'll speak for a little while short. If the shorter, the better. That way we can get all of you. We'll get everybody up. Right. But I want to thank Mitch McConnell. I want to thank what a job. And I want to thank Paul. They're going to speak. They're going to say a few words. But Paul Ryan and Mitch, it was a little team. We just got together and we would work very hard, didn't
Barf.
We? Huh? It seems like it was a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun when you win. If you work hard and lose, that's not acceptable.
Utah Senator Orrin Hatch was particularly nauseatingly effusive in his praise of the president, along with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Speaker of the House Paul Ryan.
Mr. President, I have to say that you're living up to everything I thought you would.
Exquisite presidential leadership. Mr. President, thank you.
You're one heck of a leader. This president hasn't even been in office for a year.
This has been a year of extraordinary accomplishment for the Trump administration.
And look at all the things that he's been able to get done.
President Trump has been making history since the first day of this administration.
This is one of the great privileges of my life, to stand here on the White House lawn with the President of the United States, who I love and appreciate so much. And we're going to make this the greatest presidency that we've seen, not only in generations, but maybe ever.
If that wasn't bad enough, the White House celebration followed a cabinet meeting earlier in the day in which, the Washington Post reports, Vice President Mike Pence praised Trump once every 12 seconds for 3 minutes straight.
I know I speak on behalf of the entire cabinet and of millions of Americans when I say congratulations and thank you. Thank you for seeing through the course of this year an agenda that truly is restoring this country. You described it very well, Mr. President. You've restored American credibility on the world stage, and you signed more bills rolling back federal red tape than any president in American history. You've unleashed American energy. You've spurred an optimism in this country that's setting records.
You get the idea. Meanwhile, back on Capitol Hill, the ranking Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee, Mark Warner, delivered a speech in which he warned that a potential firing of Special Counsel Robert Mueller or senior leaders of the Justice Department and the pardoning of witnesses needs to be a red line for the Senate.
Beyond being irresponsible, the seemingly coordinated nature of these claims should alarm us all, particularly since in recent days these baseless accusations have been repeated by several members of the House of Representatives. I believe it is up to every member of this institution, Republican or Democrat, to make a clear and unambiguous statement that any attempt by this president to remove Special Counsel Mueller from his position or to pardon key witnesses in any effort to shield them from accountability or shut down the investigation would be a gross abuse of power and a flagrant violation of executive branch responsibilities and authorities. These truly are red lines and simply cannot allow them to be crossed. Firing Mr. Mueller or any other of the top brass involved in this investigation would not only call into question this administration's commitment to the truth, but also to our most basic concept, rule of law. It also has the potential to provoke a constitutional crisis. In the United States of America, no one is above the law, not even the president. I hope my concerns are unfounded. In many ways, I hoped I would never have to make this kind of speech, but there are troubling signs. It is critical that all of us, as elected officials and as citizens, speak up against these threats now, before it's too late.
Trump attorney Ty Cobb keeps insisting that Mueller is safe, but Warner noted that, quote, the president's track record on this front is a source of concern. I'm certain that most of my colleagues believed he wouldn't fire Jim Comey either. About that big recount in the Virginia House of Delegates, after questions raised by a Republican election official, a three-judge panel decided on Wednesday that one more Republican ballot was valid, taking the one-vote lead away from the Democrat. The race is now tied. Control of the Virginia House of Delegates will now be decided by a random draw. Senator Al Franken has announced that his resignation from the Senate will be effective on January 2nd. Minnesota's current lieutenant governor, Senator-designate Tina Smith, will be sworn in on January 3rd. I got the news. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider a contribution. My work is 100% listener funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate. For a bit more going on in the news, we turn to our friends at the Talk Media News Service, TalkMediaNews.com, and Doug Christian's on the line today. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Nicole. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. It's kind of busy for, you know, it's just a few days before Christmas.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's funny because your news summary, I mean, there's exactly the top stuff. I mean, what's going on with Mark Warner's speech, the sycophants at the White House.
Oh, my God. Can we talk about that? Not only at the White House, but again, even before they had the big party at the White House, they had the cabinet meeting where Mike Pence spent 3 minutes just the Washington Post did an analysis. There was some sycophantic compliment every 12 seconds for 3 minutes straight.
There's now a collection of tweets about Mike Pence's sycophantic comments. It's just astonishing. One tweet from Mike Pence. About Mike Pence. There are. Can I say this on the radio?
You can. You can say anything you want. We're online.
Okay.
We're good.
Okay. There are ass kickers. There are ass kissers. There are sycophantic ass kissers. There are shameless ass kissers. There are embarrassing ass kissers. And then there's Mike Pence.
That about sums it up. He knows no shame. He just goes, and he did it at the cabinet meeting, and he did it again at the thing at the White House.
It's sickening. And then Orrin Hatch.
Oh my God!
Oh,
he really said that he was perhaps could be the greatest president ever.
Ever. It's sickening. I mean, surely, I mean, I could disagree with Orrin Hatch about almost everything politically, but I could at least respect him for his politics. I could respect, but that just takes it away. I mean, I could never look at him the same way again after that. It's just sickening. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, you think of, I don't even want to name off all the presidents that on so many levels. Are so much greater as human beings.
Oh,
no less as presidents.
Right,
it's just unbelievable.
Any one of them. There are 44 others. I mean, you could go down the list.
Yeah, and of course, people would name Abraham Lincoln. People, but I mean, even ones that are great but are lesser known, such as John Quincy Adams. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's sickening. I mean, what it shows is that Donald Trump has a way of getting almost like a tyrant, getting people in line to kiss his ass, kind of the same way that the Saudis did when they projected his picture on on the side of a building, knowing that kissing his ass would buy him a favor that they need from him.
Right. Well, in the news story from just a couple of days ago, where Putin called to thank him for the CIA intel that saved St. Petersburg from a terrorist attack, he laid on the compliments thick, which apparently is all it takes with Donald Trump. You compliment him, you thank him. That's all it takes to get on his good side, to get him to, you know, view you in a favorable manner.
People within our intelligence community have warned quite vociferously that, in that sense, Donald Trump is a very fragile human being, and that people who know how to manipulate know to do that. And it's very funny because about a year or two ago, I ran into a guy who actually was responsible for selling Donald Trump what was Eastern Airlines that he made into Trump Airlines. And he said that what they discovered was that to compliment him, he will pay any price for that. And so as a result, he said, our strategy was to pay as much as possible, was to compliment him as much as possible. I said, how do you know this? He said, I was the executive VP. I think he said Texas Air, and I was responsible for making the sale. We sold it for hundreds of millions of dollars, and it was worth zero when we did it. And one of those planes was 757 that became Trump's airplane.
Mm-hmm.
He said they were worthless airplanes. They were good for the junkyard. We had no roots, nothing, but we were able to compliment him, and he just bought it right up.
Wow.
And the intelligence agencies, it's a great story. In fact, I wish I had stayed in touch with him. But this is exactly what Putin is doing, and what Saudi Arabia is doing, and other people who want to get on his good side. And in fact, it might be what AT&T did, because Trump was threatening their merger, but
mm-hmm.
but AT&T said, "Oh, your tax bill was so good, we're going to give every one of our workers a big bonus."
Well, not everyone, just like a certain number of people. It wasn't every one of their workers. They're going to give $1,000 bonus.
Yeah, exactly. And they're going to give this bonus. But it had been pointed out by several people that it might be that they're doing this to get on his good side, that he lays off the merger.
That's...
Which, again, I mean, this is not the way to run a country or anything for that matter.
No. No. Do you have any update on what's happening today? I know that Congress wants to go home tomorrow, and they've got this continuing resolution that they've got to get passed that would fund CHIP for through the end of March, not a long term funding, just for 3 months. It would keep it going. But there are a growing number of Democrats who are saying no, because it doesn't include anything for the Dreamers and it doesn't include a long term CHIP fix. Have you heard anything more on it?
There's debating it right now. In fact, they might be going till midnight tonight.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's really kind of on the wire. Just don't know yet. But we've been actively looking at that right now to see how it's going to play out. The CHIP program is so sad. I mean, these are already there have been kids that have been losing their insurance just based on speculation that they're not going to have insurance,
they're
not going to be covered.
The state of Connecticut, I believe, was the first one to tell their people, you make other arrangements because we're running out of money now. My kid is on CHIP. It's the state children's health insurance program, and my daughter turned 18 in May, and they're on it through their 18th year. So I may have to come up with some other means of finding insurance for her if this doesn't get doesn't get taken care of before May.
It's so sad. It's just so outrageous and sad, and yet at the same time, tax proposal that was, or bill now that was put forward by the GOP, throws out just trillions, literally trillions of dollars to the very wealthiest entities in this country. It's just so upside down and backward. And I mean, even Dickens had not a century ago had spoken of the shame of such thinking, and to see it today is just it's disgusting.
Right, but they're trying to tell us that we have a big fat turkey to continue the metaphor here, that there is going to be a chicken in every pot. Everyone's going to see their taxes go down. It's a load of crap. The wealthiest among us are going to see their taxes go down by quite a bit. Those of us who aren't doing so well are not. Most of us are going to see our taxes actually go up, especially because it repealed the mandate in the Affordable Care Act. We're going to see our insurance premiums rise. All the other things is if you're in New York or New Jersey or Connecticut or California or any number of highly taxed states, you lose your state and local tax deduction. I mean, what this is doing to average working people is shameful, and yet they're trying to sell it as if it's the best thing since sliced bread.
Well, and I was interviewing a bunch of GOP congressmen this week, and I asked one of them about the deduction for high tax states, usually on the coast. And his answer was pretty clear. It's just like, well, they're on their own. You know, we're just trying to equalize the states. I thought, wow, there really is a political vendetta going on toward high tax states. They're really trying to make it clear.
It's not towards high tax states. It's towards states that vote Democratic, because there's a correlation there.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. There's a correlation between high tax states and Democratic states. And Representative, I asked him, I said, well, you know, you seem so sanguine of the prospects of this bill. What if the bill doesn't, what if this bill costs $1.5 trillion or $2 trillion? What if it's much even worse than you thought? And his answer was, capitalism has never let us down. And I said to him, I said, but what about the Depression? And he said, that wasn't capitalism. I said, well, what was that? He said that, well, and his answer was purely sophistic. He said, well, that we were coming off of World War I and we were preparing for World War II. Well, I didn't get into this with him, but 1929, we were not preparing for World War II. In fact, Hitler hadn't even come to power yet. So this idea, I mean, he just was making up facts.
That's what they do.
There was not even an attempt to be truthful. And just capitalism has never let us down. I can send you that soundbite. It was just crazy.
That's nuts.
Because I recorded it. Yep. Yes, he said that. And of course, the UN rebuked Trump's Jerusalem move in an overwhelming vote, where over 100 countries defied President Trump today and voted in favor of a United Nations General Assembly resolution calling for the United States to drop its recognition of Israel and Jerusalem as Israel's capital.
Right.
The problem is that before, we were seen as brokers for Middle East peace, but now Mahmoud Abbas and other entities are saying we don't see United States as an honest broker anymore, and that's a big problem for us in the world stage, frankly.
Yes, it is.
And of course in Virginia we've got the 94th House District race, which is now, isn't that crazy?
It's nuts. So it's a tie now, and they're going to decide it by pulling a name out of a bowl, which blows my mind. Now, I did hear something yesterday that the loser can ask for another recount. So this may drag on for a while. And there are still, I believe, one or two other recounts still going on. So things could still change in Virginia's House of Delegates. But boy, talk about every vote counting.
And the consequences are so dramatic. they get into the Medicaid
expansion
exactly. So many different issues. One vote matters that much.
Yep.
Just astonishing.
Yep.
And of course, we're entering the new year. The GOP is high right now on this massive tax relocation of money from the poorest to the richest people. But of course, the GOP is facing a pretty brutal election year in 2018 because they're going to have to actually answer for what they just did. And of course, in Arizona, there are two Senate seats that are hanging by a thread right now.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there are other places. Even Thad Cochran in Mississippi, even though Mississippi, it doesn't seem like that could go to a Democrat. At the same time, the right might actually divide up there. So it might be, who knows?
You never know. After what happened in Alabama, you never know. Then again,
exactly.
Who knows if they'll put a child molester up on the ballot, but still, anything can happen.
Exactly.
All right. Doug Christian from the Talk Media News Service at talkmedianews.com. I don't know if I'm going to talk to you tomorrow, but if not, very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I'm taking next week off. So.
It was a real pleasure. And Happy New Year, and look forward to vital and important and fun discussions in the next year.
Most definitely. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Happy holidays.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Nicole.
Okay.
You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. It's Thursday, and Howie Klein is usually here, but Howie Klein's already on vacation. He's taking a few weeks off. So our buddy Dave Johnson is going to join us. You know, Johnson from a long line of Johnsons who are correct. He'll join us next. Don't go away. I'm Nicole Sandler on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
These are the sounds of crushed souls. The sounds of despair from former radio personalities languishing in the purgatory of corporate consolidation. These former radio personalities have lost their livelihoods, not because they weren't entertaining or informative, but because they don't meet today's corporate terrestrial broadcast standards of being smelly, overweight douchebags, seething with vein-popping hatred. These radio refugees and their audiences have since migrated to the Internet, but their struggle continues as the quest for monetization ensues. Nicole Sandler is leading the way to reestablishing thought-provoking and entertaining radio. And you can help by clicking the donate button on NicoleSandler.com. Donate today, or as much and as often as you can. Dry the tears of listeners by removing the rotting stench of corporate radio. Won't you help?
Olson Johnson is right. I say we stay and fight it out.
Dr. Samuel Johnson's right about Olson Johnson's being right. And I'm not giving up my ice cream parlor that I built with these two hands for nothing or nobody.
Howard Johnson is right.
The latest in a long line of Johnsons who were right. Correct. It's Dave Johnson on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Now, Dave Johnson is a former senior fellow at the Campaign for America's Future. He writes at seeingtheforest.com. And he's on the Twitters at DC Johnson. Hello, Dave Johnson.
Hello. And I want to remind your listeners to press that donate button at NicoleSandler.com.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, that's what keeps me going. I try not to harp on it too often because I hate asking for money. But this show, I do it at the end of every What's News segment. The way I get paid is from listeners who support the show financially. So that's my paycheck. So whatever you guys send is what I get. So I probably don't say thank you enough. So thank you to everybody who has contributed over this year. You've made it possible for me to keep doing what I do, and allow me to continue. So from the bottom of my heart, I so appreciate it.
Yeah, but Nicole,
yes,
now you're going to get an extra $4,000 a year because of the tax cuts.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I certainly don't make enough money to get $4,000 a year. In fact, the money I get will qualify me to get anything in a tax cut.
But your employer now is going to have so much money that they'll give you a little bit, right?
Oh, that's the way it's supposed to work. That's what we're told. There are supposed to be jobs created. How are jobs created from this tax scam?
Well, here's how. Look at every tax cut in U.S. history, and then look at the economic growth that resulted and the jobs that resulted, and then you'll see what you should expect.
Then I guess we go into another recession in the not-too-distant future, huh?
Yeah. No tax cut in the past has resulted in economic growth. In fact, the Republicans in Congress commissioned a study on that. And then when the study came out, they suppressed it real fast. But the word got out. The study is out there. You know, I should have looked this up ahead of time. Google study taxes economic growth, and you should find it. It's called the Congressional Research Service. And they concluded that, no, it does not affect taxes. But what it does do is it makes inequality a lot worse. So here we are.
Yes. And this is just so egregious. I mean, these massive tax cuts for the wealthiest among us, it just is. I mean, it's counterintuitive. It goes against any vestiges of common sense. Because there aren't any. There's nothing that makes sense about this. We went through the whole trickle-down thing before, and we learned it does not work. If we weren't already convinced, every time we try this, we find out it doesn't work, and yet they're here they go again.
Well, it depends on what you mean by work, doesn't it? I mean, really, if you look at the clear results of Reagan's tax cuts, inequality soared. The 1% started getting a greater and greater share of both the income and the wealth of the country. And so depends on what you mean by works, because if that's what you want to have happen, it works.
But that's what's
going to happen. And that's who essentially paid for this tax cut, funded the Republican Party, et cetera. So it worked, and it will work. Not for us.
When is enough money enough for some of these people? I mean, if I had billions of dollars... If I had millions of dollars, if I had hundreds of thousands of dollars, I'd be quite content, and I'd want to share the wealth a little bit, but I guess that's just me.
That's just you. Several years ago, I did a post that literally went viral, went everywhere. It was titled Nine Pictures of the Extreme Wealth Gap. And what I did was I researched what some of these things cost. Have you ever heard of a car called a Maybach?
No.
Now, the really, really, really rich people get these cars called a Maybach. It's kind of like a extremely high-end Mercedes, and they can cost around $1 million.
Okay. Rush
Limbaugh, at the time, had five of them.
Oh, my God.
And they're about $1 million. And then, you know, these huge super yachts. And, you know, some of the houses, I think McCain. How many houses did McCain have?
Was it 10 some or something? Ridiculous number, right.
I know. I know. And then there was a private jet, et cetera. And I listed all these watches. There's watches you can buy for $1 million.
Oh, my God.
And all these things, I listed a bunch of them and showed pictures, and I calculated how much they would all cost. And you still had something like, I don't remember, $500 million, $600 million left over from your billion. That is if you only have a billion, if you're a loser, if you only have a billion. But... So, that got into that whole thing about what more could you want once you've got your jet. There's hotels you can stay at for $40,000 a night.
Oh, my God. So I guess the more money you have, the more you need to live in the lifestyle to which you're accustomed.
Well, yes and no, because when you did all of those things, you still had a half billion or something left.
Well, you need some to be able to stash, like in the Cayman Islands, on offshore accounts so that you can keep up with your neighbors, like the Trumpses, right?
Exactly. So, yes, the tax cuts do work. It just depends on what you mean by work. If the intent is to make the 1%, or actually the 1/100th of the 1%, vastly, 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 vastly more wealthy. What is it? I think on the show last time I was on, we said, what was it? Six people now have more wealth than half the United States, or three people. No, it's three people have more wealth than half of the United States. In the world, it's eight people have more wealth than half of the world.
The world's population.
So the tax cuts will work. Yeah,
that's insane.
Because that'll make it four people.
Aren't we cynical? Well, yes, but for good reason. I mean, I wonder how these people sleep at night. So we're talking about, are we talking about the Walton family here?
Oh, yeah, that's one of the, oh, yeah. But the three, I think it was Bill Gates and a couple others. Jeff Bezos now.
Oh, yeah. Jeff Bezos is
and
like.
And someone else. The three of them have more wealth than half the country at this point.
I wonder how these people sleep.
This is the culmination of a long-term conservative anti-government project. And it's a game. You know, we've watched them play this game again and again. They cut taxes dramatically. And then they claim, oh, look, we have horrible budget deficits. Oh, my God, we've got deficits, and deficits mean we can't spend any money on things that make people's lives better. You've heard that one.
Yes. Now
we're broke. We don't have any money.
Right. And the Republicans said that the whole time the Democrats are in power, right? You can't spend.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you
got
to pay for everything as we go along because we have no money. We're broke. Deficit, debt and deficit. The deficit hawks were all over the place. Now that they're in power, all of a sudden that whole notion disappears. It doesn't matter anymore. But you're of the mind.
Right.
You're one of those modern monetary theorist people who believes that deficits are good. They're okay. Like, it's okay.
Deficits are. Yeah, I mean, how else do you get money into the economy? The U.S. dollar is the exclusive creation of the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
And we borrow in dollars. The government pays its debts in dollars, mm-hmm. or buys things in dollars. And we can print as many dollars as we want. So it's about priorities. It's about how do you distribute the benefits of the economy and how do you spend on your priorities, but you have to spend to get certain things done, and you have to spend, or else there's no dollars in the economy. So, I've got a good way to look at this now. They say we're $20 trillion in debt. Okay, well, look at it this way: what happens if we decide we got to get rid of that debt? Okay, we have to raise taxes and or cut spending by $20 trillion, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if we raise taxes or cut spending? $20 trillion worth.
Oh, my God.
Take $20 trillion out of the economy. What happens to the economy?
It implodes.
It goes away.
Right.
Right. It goes away. The economy goes away. So that's the other side. If you really think debt is so bad, if you really think having $20 trillion out there circulating is so bad, then soak them up. Get rid of them. Tax them away. Stop spending and watch what happens. So that actually what that shows is the benefit of that debt to the economy. That's money we have.
Right. Now, just imagine if we had spent that money on programs to actually help people rather than enrich those who don't need the help.
And military and such.
And,
yeah,
and
you got it exactly right there.
Right.
And another way to look at that then is these tax cuts, where all of that money goes to a few rich people, largely.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little bit of money going to make people think they're getting it for themselves, but it largely benefits the rich. And corporate tax cuts immensely benefit the rich. The corporate tax cuts don't go to corporations. I mean, corporations are just legal contracts. They go to people, and those people are largely the top 1%, you know, 10%, et cetera. That's who owns stocks.
Corporations are people, my friend.
Yeah. Well, they're people in that way, yeah. So imagine, though, if that distribution of money went to free college, health care, all of those things
healthcare.
To make our lives better.
Look at these kids who are losing their health care. I watched
right.
one of the nightly news shows last night, and there had a story on this family with the two little kids, and the parents were talking about, you know, when you have insurance through the Children's Health Insurance Program, you have a reasonable copay. It's either like, you know, $5 or nothing. And you do pay for the insurance. It's how my daughter has her insurance is through Children's Health Insurance Program. It's Florida Healthy Kids.
For a while.
What it's exactly until it runs out. But I'm going to have to get her on her own insurance in May anyway, because she'll be 19. But there's 9 million children in this country who are this close to losing their insurance. And, you know, families who have no recourse, nowhere to go. Also that, what, so that Jeff Bezos can get another tax break?
So they have this game, this ratchet. They cut taxes. It pushes money to the top. Then they cut the things that government does for us. And it's part of a way to make it look like government doesn't work, like government is a mistake. We shouldn't have government. We should get government off the backs of these corporations. And what they're talking about is democracy. They do not want we the people making these decisions. If we the people made these decisions, we'd have health care, we'd have free college, we'd have all these things for us. So they have to pretend they're taking away the money. It's not how money works, but everybody believes this deficit fear, and then they fall for it. And the worst thing is Democrats fall for it.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats go, oh, God, we've got to control the budget. We've got to look like we're being fiscally responsible and all this stuff. And so it's the Democrats that do a lot of the cuts or go along with them, and they just fall into this trap. I have a post about that. It's called There Are No Real Republican Deficit Hawks, Here's Why. And I have it at two places. I have it at Seeing the Forest, but I also have it at a blog you'd like, wecanhavenicethings.com.
I actually saw that blog. Yes, that's a blog you...
That's a site that explains this stuff about money that I'm talking about and that you're hearing more and more about.
Wecanhavenicethings.com. That's a great way to put it. We can have nice things. Now, And again, the Republicans have all but admitted it by increasing the deficit by $1.5 trillion or more over the next 10 years. That was the limit. That was all they could do and still pass this tax scam bill by through reconciliation,
right,
where they only needed 50 votes to get it through.
Otherwise,
who knows how much more money they would have given away to the already wealthiest among us. And there's the difference between, I guess, the Democrats and the Republicans in one sense. The Democrats actually want to help people, like those 9 million kids who are this close to losing their insurance coverage. So how are these low information voters being fooled? How are the Republicans? Because you would think, all right, we know what's going on here. We know that this is a massive stealing of wealth from we the people for the top 1% or 1/100th of a percent of income hoarders in this country. But how does the average person not get that? I mean, shouldn't by all rights, the Republicans should be voted off the face of the earth next November because they've done this. Why are some people not going to see that?
Well, as of right now, the tax bill is incredibly unpopular, but the Republicans, you know how they are. Now, for one thing, all of them just went and said, voted for it. And they know something we don't, and that is how they're going to sell this thing, okay? Here's what I expect is coming, okay? First of all, what happens now, and they're scrambling to do this in 2 weeks, the IRS has to put out what's called the new withholding tables.
Right.
That's the money that's taken out of your paycheck to cover taxes at the end of the year. Well, the IRS now is firmly under Trump's control. They got one of those Trump people in charge, and you can bet that they're going to fudge those tax tables so that everybody gets a bunch more money in their paycheck starting in 2 weeks or
mm-hmm.
in February.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to get a bunch more money in their paycheck. I've already read that Republicans are planning to say, see, you have all this money in your paycheck, and all those Democrats lied to you and told you you wouldn't. That's one thing that's coming.
Until
now,
they have to
problem.
Do their taxes the following April and find out that they owe money instead of going to get money back.
Right. People depend on getting a refund. Well, they're not going to get a refund. They're going to owe a bunch of money as a result. But that's after the election.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Ah.
So between now and the election, they'll be telling people, look at all the extra money you're getting in your pocket. There's another thing that happens next year.
Mm-hmm.
15 states are increasing the minimum wage.
Wow.
So, and that will trickle up, because once you raise the minimum wage, you raise a bunch of wages above that too, so that, you know, you can't have the minimum wage person and your, whatever, making the same amount.
Mm-hmm.
You got to raise a little higher above it too.
Right.
So a lot of people will get raises from that. Republicans are going to say, look, you have more money in your paycheck, and that's because of this tax cut. Get it?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Okay, so that's coming. Another thing that's already happening is companies that want favors from Trump are pretending they're giving this money to their employees. AT&T,
right,
which has a big merger coming.
Mm-hmm.
Comcast, which just got a benefit from the ending of net neutrality. Companies like that are already announcing they're going to give a little bit of money to their employees.
Right.
And they're saying this is because of Trump's tax cut. That's like giving their employees money to vote Republican.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Trump had something to
get favors from the government.
About.
And also the tax cuts they get are worth a hell of a lot more than their
Than the measly payouts they're going to give, right.
Yeah.
They're going to give $1,000.
The AT&T one was the result of a union negotiation, in fact. So,
wow.
So they're going to sell it by the way they do everything, which is cheating. So they'll be selling them, and Democrats have to be ready to counter that and explain. And it's a tough sell, but they're going to have to do it. I don't know if they're going to do it, but that's what they're going to have to try to do. So I think a lot of us are in a wishful thinking bubble right now with the polls showing everybody getting it now. Well, what's going to happen is enough people might see enough extra money in their own paychecks to have the Republicans saying, see, Democrats were lying. Never mind why they have money in their paychecks. They'll be told it's because of Trump.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
And if people don't do their homework, instead they're tuned into Fox or a Sinclair TV station, or they read Breitbart, they're getting the echo chamber telling them the same lies.
Nicole?
Yes?
How many times a day, a week, whatever, do you say, this is unbelievable, and unless people are you know, a little better informed than just listening to Fox or Sinclair, they're going to be fed a bunch of lies. How many times an hour does that
More.
Pop into your head?
For too many to count.
For any given subject.
Right. Too many to count. And that's the problem right now. But then, look, the thing is polling really badly. I think what the the disapproval on this was like 41%. The approval is, I think, between 24 and 30, depending
right.
on what poll
exactly.
you're reading.
Which shows we got the word out. Now all we have to do is get the word out about the tricks they're going to play, and we can help with that. Okay, so it's beatable. This was beatable. It was completely beaten, but they voted for it anyway, because you know they're good. If they do get voted out, they get nice lobbyist jobs. They actually get more money. So, you know.
Yeah. So that's what Paul Ryan's going to do, huh?
Yeah, it's beatable. It's beatable, but we have to be out there explaining, hey, if they're screwing with your tax tables and you're getting withholding now, you're not getting a refund next year. And no, that's not from the tax. That's from the minimum wage increase and things like that. Some people will actually get a little bit of lower taxes, but those actually turn into tax increases in several years.
Right.
Increases, okay?
Yeah, after 2025.
Not cuts, but increases later, yeah. But that's after the elections and such. Meanwhile, the corporate taxes stay really low.
Of course, because those are permanent. The corporate tax cuts yep. are permanent. It's only the individual yep. tax cuts that go away after 7 or 8 years. I forget.
Right.
But 2025 is when those sunset. Now, what they're saying is, oh, but we're not going to let that happen because they're admitting that deficits don't matter.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And deficits don't matter. But it matters who gets the gains of our economy. That matters. And right now, it's just all going up straight to the top. And it gets harder and harder for people like you and me. So it matters. The deficits matter in that way. They don't matter in that, oh, my God, our grandchildren will be paying this forever. No, that's not how a government works at all. But, you know, how do you overcome the kind of propaganda that they throw out like this? We're learning we can do it. Let's just hope net neutrality doesn't stop us killing off net neutrality. Doesn't stop us from the ways we've been getting the word out.
Well, that is a real problem because, look, I have no idea. Once the net neutrality stuff is all goes into effect, they could easily throttle this show so nobody could watch it on YouTube, or it would take, you know, forever to download the podcast because I don't have the money to pay to be in a high-speed lane.
Hey, they don't even have to throttle it. They just have to shut it off. I'm sorry. If you get Verizon, you're not. We don't like you to get this website. They can do that.
Right.
They can say, oh, we're not going to, you know, you might want to subscribe to the progressive Internet service because they'll give you Nicole Sandler. But we won't. They can do that.
The progressive way.
Nice things about Verizon, Nicole.
The progressive Internet service? Which one would that be?
Right. But you better start saying nice things about Verizon.
Yeah, I don't think...
Times are changed. You need to keep up with the times.
Yeah. I don't think it's possible. My tongue won't allow those words to come out. But it's not only Verizon. It's Comcast. It's AT&T. It's all of them. There is
That's
no
right.
progressive internet service provider. So
That's
we're
right.
just
That's
screwed.
Right.
Where
there's AOL. No, that's Verizon now, isn't it? Remember AOL? Remember how you could, you if you had AOL, you could get certain chat rooms and you could get certain, you know, they weren't websites, but they were AOL pages
yes.
or something.
Oh,
but
sure.
you couldn't get them unless you had AOL.
Yeah.
And CompuServe. Remember how CompuServe and you couldn't.
I do.
Yeah. That's how it could become, is that if you're not on that service, and it could be, by the way, that Netflix makes an exclusive deal with AT&T, but Comcast, of course, owns NBC, so they have their own content.
Right.
And Verizon will have their own. And
right.
you don't get Netflix if you're on Verizon. You don't get to see all these other things if you're on this service.
That's, or you can, but you're going to have to pay a hell of a lot more money.
Or they are. Another one that's going to happen. You want to start a company?
Okay.
Well, if you want anybody to see your company's website, you have to give AT&T 10% of your company.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. All of that is what net neutrality meant. Oh, boy.
Yeah. And here we go. We're coming up on a new year when all of this stuff is not only possible, a lot of it is probable.
Probable is the word. And then in comes Sinclair.
Yes.
At the same time.
Oh, my God.
For those who don't understand what we're talking about, the FCC or somebody granted Sinclair Broadcasting a waiver so that they can have ownership of local stations around the country. Sinclair is even worse than Fox, and they require their stations to air this horrible right-wing commentary and such, and that's coming. So,
although they just got fined. I'm going to see if I can find this really quickly because, I don't know where it was. I read something. They were fined by the FCC for not disclosing that some of these must-carry commentaries were not actually news. Let me see if I can find it here. I wish I would have flagged this page. Let me see.
Well, you're looking. I'll be a little bit positive.
Okay.
We can fight this. But you got to get the word out to everybody you know. We can fight this. We've been fighting this. And we can fight this if enough people are able to and then show up and vote. We can fight this. Just want to get that in there. You got to keep it up. You got to keep saying to people, be sure you're registered to vote if you can. Be sure you vote. Be sure you show up and go help local candidates. Show up and volunteer. Go door to door. Help people.
Here's the story from Bloomberg. The U.S. Federal Communications Commission proposed fining Sinclair Broadcast Group, Inc. $13.4 million for programming that appeared more than 1,700 times without disclaimers telling viewers the messages were sponsored by another business. It had nothing to... by failing to disclose that a foundation was paying for them to air. So
yeah, but does that matter next year? Is Trump going to enforce that?
Probably not. And $13.4 million for Sinclair is a drop in the bucket. It's nothing.
Yeah. We're in a war. This is not like before. This is not at all like before, where we have a president who says the media is the enemy of the people. We're in a war, and we got to take it back. And if we don't act now, this conversation between you and me a year from now, if we can have it at all, will be a lot different. And we'll be, we'll have a lot of different subjects. And we won't be as optimistic. So we've got to do what we can now.
Yes. And that's make sure you're registered. Don't wait to register to vote. Make sure your registration is in effect now.
And register others.
Yes. And because primaries really matter. And so before the general elections in November, there are the primaries. And if we want decent, like really good progressive candidates, you got to vote in the primaries. And sorry, that's why you need to be registered as a Democrat. To vote in the primaries.
Yes.
Dave Johnson.
Just throwing it away otherwise.
Dave Johnson, you can find him at seeingtheforest.com. And what is it?
WeCanHaveNiceThings.com? WeCanHaveNiceThings.com.
All right. Dave Johnson.
Because we can have nice things.
We can. We really can. It doesn't have to be this way. Thank you so much, Dave.
Sure thing.
Have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You too.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
All right. With that, we are done for the day. Tomorrow, Deborah Newell Tornello will be here for another edition of Florida.